Hi guys, welcome to the Real Time with Maria. If you haven't guessed it yet, I'm Maria. I wanted to do this podcast for many different reasons. I want to shed light on these cases that I'll be talking about on this podcast, and I want to bring awareness to it. This has been a passion of mine to talk about these things, to read about these things, and understand these people. And I really wanted to do this podcast for that reason, and I really hope you guys listen to it and tell your friends, tell your families to listen to it too. My podcast won't be like a really long one. I understand people have stuff to do and have their lives, so I'm gonna try to condense it into something short, something good, so that you guys don't get bored out of it. Now, it's not only gonna be about crime or true crime or unsolved mysteries. I'm gonna have different topics from now and then. I'm gonna have Q&A's, and I'm gonna have different topics that you guys can suggest, if you guys want me to talk about. So yeah, that's what I really want to do. Now my first two cases are gonna be about unsolved mysteries. It's mainly gonna be based on the Netflix series called Unsolved Mysteries. I don't know if you guys haven't watched it, but my first two cases are gonna be about that. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's really good. A lot of information, a lot of things to learn, and if you guys haven't watched it, I think you should watch it. But if you haven't watched it, you can listen to my podcast and get other people to listen to it, because I'm basically going to be talking about what they talk about in there, but kind of putting it into one big thing, into a shorter thing, so you guys can have an understanding of it. And I wanted to talk about Alonzo Brooks, because his name is being brought up again, because they have exhumed his body, because there's been tips coming in after the Netflix series. So the FBI is announcing a $100,000 reward in murder of Alonzo Brooks. So at the end, I am going to be giving some websites if you do have any tips. If you do know what you think happened to him, I mean, $100,000, I would talk if I knew something. That's a lot of money, and I feel like the family is gonna get answers. They're gonna get the answers that they need, because shoot, that's $100,000. If I knew something happened, I'ma say something. And even if it wasn't money, like, if I knew something happened, I'm gonna say something. Like, if you were there that day, if you were around that day, I would say something. Like, this is a mother who's been hurting for years and years to find out what happened to her son, her baby. And it's just, like, absurd to me that nobody knows what happened to him. It's just crazy. There were so many people at that party, and it's really crazy to me. I mean, I have an idea. I kind of know maybe what happened to him. Like, my theory, not that I know what happened to him, but my theory on what I think happened to him and why he was, like, attacked. And it's mainly because of race, right? So I'm not going to really give a description of myself before I start, because I'm sure a lot of you guys know me. Maria, I live in Fort Myers, Florida, Woolly Hikers, Florida. I'm 22, and yeah, I really hope you guys enjoy this, but I'm gonna start. So Alonzo Brooks, he was born in 1980 in Topeka, Kansas. I hope I'm saying that right. In Topeka, Kansas, he was the youngest of five children born to Maria and her now ex-husband, Billy Brooks. And she says that he was their surprise baby, because she used to tell him that Alonzo used to tell his mom that she had him too late, because he would want to go and be with other older kids, but she wanted to protect them because that was her baby. And she said that she couldn't protect him from what happened that day. And it's just really sad, because this whole thing is sad because about her, because she was really close to Alonzo. Like, they were really close. Like, they were really close. That was her baby. She protected him at all costs. And it's just really sad what happened. So, they describe him as being a funny, a cool, all-around guy, a kid. He loved karate when he was younger. He was Mexican and black. So he really loved, like, he was really loved by his siblings, by everybody around him who knew him, really loved being around him. So we're going to move on to the day that he disappeared. He never came back home. It was, Alonzo's mom remember that it was the evening in April 3rd, 2004. Alonzo was 23 at the time. And he was getting ready to head out for a party for someone who was leaving to join the Navy. And his mom told them, like, to bundle up before he left. Like, she was really, like, close with him. And this is, like, the whole sad thing. Because, you know, I have a son. And, like, I could not imagine, you know, going through that. Especially, like, the circumstances. And she was always trying to protect him. Like I said, she was always trying to protect him. And so he left that day. He left to the party that day. It was a party that his friend Justin have invited him. And according to the investigation by the FBI, there was approximately 100 people at the party. They were all from ages 16 to 25. And Alonzo was one of only 3 African-American men in attendance. So imagine that. Out of 100 people, you're one of 3 African-American men there, right? And so he went to this party with Justin, with his friend. And Justin, I'm gonna rip him off a little bit later because it's just like, I feel like things would have gone so much different if it wasn't like, if he would have just like did what he was supposed to do, it would have gone so much different. Like, I'm gonna crack on him later. I am. I'm gonna get into him. He attended this party, which was an hour away because he lives in Topeka, Kansas, and the party was in Lacine in Linn County. And it was an hour away. They said it was an hour away. So they arrived at this party. It was in a farmhouse. They arrived at this party. They get there. Everybody's having a good time. There's no arguments, like no animosity, as Justin was saying, like, nothing in the air that felt, you know, different. You know when, like, you go in a place and you're like, like, especially if you're like one and out of 3 African-American, like, you know. But he said that everything was good, like, he didn't feel weird, everything was fine. Now the FBI did say that they heard from a couple people there that there was multiple fights breaking out about racist comments being made. So there was, you know, there is going to be certain people that, you know, are going to say something about that, you know, because it is like an all white dominant, like, city. Like, it's, that's how it is. And that's how Justin describes it. Like, as you get further down into Kansas, it's more like racial things going more down into it. And he said that there was racist comments being made. And so there was some fights about that. And but then after that, everything was fine. Justin was saying that everybody was cool, everybody was hanging out, Alonzo was drinking, he was having a good time. So this is where I'm gonna rip Justin, because listen, if I have a best friend and I'm taking her to a party an hour away from where I live, I would not leave my friend there by herself. I wouldn't. I would not do that. I would want to make sure that she gets home safe with me, and that everything is okay. And I feel like things would have been so much different if he would have just took Alonzo with him. But he said Alonzo was having a good time and he wanted to go home. So he went back to his car and he drove off. He said that he made a wrong turn, got lost, and he called back the other friend, which I don't know who. I know they mentioned him in the Netflix documentary about him. They mentioned the other friend's name, but I don't remember. And I tried looking it up, but I don't remember who the other friend was. But he called back. Justin called back the other friend that was with Alonzo. And Justin was saying that he was hearing Alonzo in the background, like, laughing, having a good time. So he's like, okay, everything's chill. So he's like, hey, are you going to take him home? I made a wrong turn. I got lost. Are you going to take him home? So he's like, yeah, I'm going to take him home. So he, so the next day, when Alonzo didn't make it home, by the next day, you know, his family knew something wrong. Because they, I think one of his friends called his mom in the morning, was like, hey, is Alonzo there? And his mom was like, yeah, he should be, like, he should be here. I guess she was sleeping, so she's like, let me go check his room to see if he's there. So he wasn't there. So they knew something was wrong. They went back to, they called the Linn County Sheriff's Office, and the search was launched by multiple agencies a short time later. So then a short time later, they went back to the farmhouse, and this farmhouse, it was deserted. Like, it was, nobody was staying there at the time. They just had that farmhouse for that party, right? So they went back to the farmhouse, and they found Alonzo's boots and hat were found in the weeds just across the street from the farmhouse where the party was being held. So they found his boots and his hat. Law enforcement, they searched the area, of course, on ground from the and from the air, but no body was found. So that day, so there was this creek, right? So I don't know how to explain it. That the house, the farmhouse where the party was at, it was like maybe half a mile where the creek is at. The creek is like right across from it. There's a creek there, right? It was like maybe half a mile, right? So there was no body found. They were searching, and, you know, his mom was really like desperate, like trying to see what happened, like asking people what happened that day, you know? Just asking around and seeing who knew what. Like, I mean, like, asking Justin, asking the people that the guy, I'm like wondering what happened to the guy that was supposed to drop him off. Like, I don't know what happened there. So about a month later, on May 1st 2004, Alonzo's family organized their own search, because I feel like the police was being a little, I don't know, like, they were being, like, a little, like, they didn't really want to, like, search. I mean, they were searching, they were doing the best that they could, but it was, like, okay, like, it was kind of winding down. It's, like, we haven't found a body and all that stuff. So, about a month later, on May 1st, 2004, Alonzo's family organized their own search of the property and the surrounding area where the party was. So, mind you, this is a month later. And, okay, this is a month later. And when the night after he went missing, like, the night that he went missing, the day after, they searched this area. That's what the police say, that they searched this area. They searched the creek around there. They searched, and he said that the creek was maybe about 3 feet high in water. So they searched that area. So if there was a body there at the time, wouldn't you think that they would have seen it? Especially because his boots and his hat were around the area. It's like, how far can you really make it on foot? Especially if he was drinking or intoxicated or whatever. You know, how far can you make it on foot? So his family organized a search. And after less than an hour of searching, they found Alonzo's body. And it was like, it was really sad. His dad was there. And they said they found his body. It was tangled in a brush pile in the creek bed of Middle Creek near the farmhouse. So this whole time, when he went missing, the day after when he went missing, they didn't find anybody. But all of a sudden, a month later, you're telling me that there is a body right in the creek where you guys searched the day after he went missing? Like, that's just really crazy to me. And the saddest part is that Alonzo's father and family were the one who spotted him. And Alonzo's dad, Billy Brooks, said that, "My God, it was awful." That's what he said. "Just to find my boy like that," he said. "Like, nothing can describe that pain." And I couldn't imagine, like, that shit would be so sad. Like, it would be so sad. Billy said during their search that day, the skies had been overcast and threatened rain. But when they found Alonzo's body, the skies cleared and the sun came out. So that's literally, like, giving me chills right now. It's like, he was saying, like, it was like my boy was telling me everything was okay now, Billy said. And at least we had found him, and it wasn't how we wanted to find him, but at least we did. So, they found him there in the creek. Now, they got him. Now, Alonzo's body has suffered significant decomposition, and an autopsy at the time, it was unable to determine a cause of death. So, but in the documentary, in the Netflix documentary, the examiner who did the autopsy, he said that he didn't have any lacerations to his, he didn't have any, like, bullet wounds, because if he was shot, there's a way to know, like, if the bones, like, if there's any any exit wounds in the bones. He said that he don't think he was shot because there wasn't any signs of shot, and he said that he don't think, he says that if he was beaten, it wasn't enough to show on the autopsy if he was beaten. Now, he says that he could have been strangled, but, like, he said he doesn't know because the body was in, like, really bad decomposition, and the scar tissues that are around there, around his neck, they were gone. So he has no idea if he could have been strangled or not. So everybody was, you know, was really upset about this. From the beginning, there was reports of foul play in Alonzo's death. You know, he said that there was reports that Alonzo had been targeted for violence because of his race and have flirted with the wrong girl and been challenged to fight. So at the party, they said that he was flirting with the wrong girl and he was targeted of his race. And I believe that, like, especially in Kansas, like, you're the only, like, one out of three black people there, African-American people there, and, like, I believe this was foul play completely. And they're saying, like, oh, like, they were saying at the time, like, oh, it was an accident, or maybe it was a suicide, because they were saying that the interviews with the people who attended the party yield no confession and shed no light on where Alonzo might be. So they did do interviews at the party with people that were there, and they were not confessing or shed any light on where he might be. And I don't think they would. If you know your friend did something, you're not going to say, like, yeah, my friend did that. Yeah, we beat him up. Yeah, we did this. You know, no, they're not going to say that. So they defied that it was reason to believe Alonzo's death was a suicide, or that he somehow accidentally tumbled into a relatively shallow creek in Linn County, leaving behind his boots and his hat, all with no witnesses whatsoever, which I think that's bullshit. Like, that's bullshit. Like, you're telling me that all these people at this fucking party, right? And you're telling me he wandered off into a shallow creek, leaving behind his boots and his hat, and no witnesses whatsoever. Like, nothing. Like, nobody saw. But where was the person that was supposed to take him home? That's what I'm, like, trying to figure out. Where was this person that was trying to take him home that day? That's what I don't get. Like, I do not believe that this was an accident at all. I think that he was targeted, like they're saying. Like, his mom was saying, he was targeted. He was mixed. He was, his dad was black, and his mom was Mexican. He was targeted for the color of his skin. And I believe that's what happened to him. I believe that he probably left the party. He was drunk. People saw him walking. They targeted him. They beat him up. They probably, you know, locked him away. Because also, I also forgot to mention this. So in the documentary, the things that they found on Alonzo, they found his wallet. They found some paper that was in his wallet. They found his, I think it was like a pass to like a bowling alley or something. I think something like that, right? So they found that, and it was all like, if he was in this creek for a month, don't you think that all those things would have showed sign of like water or like water damage on them? Nothing, no damage, nothing on them. And his mom was like saying the same thing, like, there's no damage on this stuff. Like, if he was there for a month in that water, there is nothing to show that. So a lot of people believe that he was put away, especially his friend Justin. His friend Justin thinks that he was kept in a meat freezer, and then whenever it was the right time to lay him back out there, they put him out there. But the examiner, there's no way that he can see if his body was frozen, you know? There's no, like, thawing, like, there's no way that he knows if his body was frozen or not. So this is what people believe, and I believe this too. I believe that he wandered off that night. He was probably drunk. He wandered off that night, and they targeted him. They targeted him. They beat him up. They probably strangled him, and they kept him away. They kept him away until it was the right time for them to put him back out there so that they can find his body. Now, after, so literally the case grew cold for a couple years. I mean, since 2004 all the way to now, to 2019, well, 2020, but the case, it says that the case went cold until 2019 when the Netflix show Unsolved Mysteries brought the case into the attentions, right? And the Department of Justice and the FBI joined forces to reopen the case and have been actively investigating. With the recent announcement of a $100,000 reward, FBI agent Lena Romana told Dateline, they have been receiving several tips and are continuing to follow multiple leads in the case. So I think with this $100 reward, I think a lot of people are going to start talking. A lot of tips are going to come in. I mean, there's somebody that has to know something, like the littlest thing can help crack this case and get the justice that his family deserves, that his mom deserves. They deserve to know what happened to their son, what happened to their brother. They deserve to know that, you know? They deserve to know if it was race, if it was an accident, if whatever it was, they deserve to know that. They deserve to know that, to know the truth on what happened. And I just find it that it's just crazy that 16 years and nothing, and nobody knows anything, especially the people, like, that were supposed to, you know, bring him back home. Like, what happened? Like, how do you just let your friend just wander off like that? Like, I know I wouldn't let my best friend. I wouldn't even have left her. Like, that's why, like, this Justin guy, like, he just pisses me off. Like, I feel like everything would have been so different. Like, come on, Justin. Like, he should have done better. Like, he should have done better. So, they're saying that they hope that with this passage of time, someone who has information will come forward. That's what the investigators said. And some of these kids who are adult now may have been scared to come forward before, or may not have known what they saw, that what they saw was important. But any pieces of information is significant and could be the missing puzzle piece we need to solve this case. And that's what I said, like, any little thing, any, like, even him, like, oh yeah, he went outside, oh he wandered off, oh yeah, we saw him, like, we were driving our car and we saw him walking by himself. Like, any little things like that can really help solve this case. And, you know, and it just be like so important, like, just if you know something, like, to tell the FBI, you know, because any little thing like this can solve this case. So Alonzo's father believes that the reward money will urge someone to come forward. Like I said, like, I feel like that's a lot of money. And if I knew something, I would come forward, you know? Like he said, it's a significant amount of money. And he hopes that someone does the right thing and come forward. And Maria was saying, it's time. It's time to find out what happened to my baby. We waited so long. And she also told Dateline that she visits her son's grave often, and she always asks him, what happened to you? And that's just like, I'm getting chills right now just thinking of that. I'm like, that's just crazy. Like, she just wants to know what happened to her baby. Like, this was her baby, and she just wants to know. Josh Pratt, he's a filmmaker who lived in Paola, Kansas at the time of Alonzo's death and knew many of the people at that party. He has been trying to answer that question for Alonzo's family for the past 5 years, so I think he's been involved. And he says, I never met Alonzo, but being from the same area and about the same age, I felt some sort of connection to him, Josh told Dateline. He was just another guy like me trying to find his direction in life, and then it was all taken away from him. So, then he goes on. Josh and his team have been working on a documentary and accompanying a podcast based on Alonzo's case. Through investigative work and exclusive interviews with Alonzo's closest friends and relatives in law enforcement, and even potential persons of interest. Joss explores different angles of the mystery that he hopes could one day lead to justice for Alonzo. And I just find that really amazing that they're doing this, that they're doing this podcast. And whenever it comes out and I can hear it, I will talk about it on here and let you guys know if they're... has been any new updates on it. And when there is any new updates on it, I will let you guys know in the next episode if there has been any new updates on his case. Josh was saying that he created a form on his website for those interested in the story or for those who may have information about what happened that night. There hasn't been a day that goes by that I don't work on Alonzo's case or think of him, Josh said. We're in this for the long haul, and we're not going to stop until we find out what happened. Alonzo's family continues to search for answers in the case, a Facebook page, Justin for Alonzo. And I think you guys should go on that page and go and, you know, like things, share his information on Facebook, on Instagram, share his information. And they said they created this to discuss his case and help spread awareness. So, and this is why I'm doing this podcast too. I want to help spread awareness to his case, to many cases, especially next week's case, because that case is crazy. I want to help spread awareness. So I think you guys should go on there. The Facebook page is called Justice for Alonzo Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S. And if you guys want to share everything. And so then it says, if Alonzo were alive today, he would have turned 40 on May 19. His father told Dateline that he always wonders what kind of man his son would have turned out to be and what sort of life he would have led. We missed out on his whole life, Maria said. Someone took that away from us, and someone or several people know what happened to him. We just want to know. He's my baby, and I can't protect him anymore, but I can do this. I can find out what happened. I can get justice for him. And that just broke my heart. Like, that just literally broke my heart. Like, it's just crazy that all these people that were there, there was 100 people at this party. What kind of party has 100 people, and y'all don't know what happened to this one guy? Y'all don't know what happened to him. Like, there had to be people outside of the farmhouse. There had to be people outside of the farmhouse smoking cigarettes or drinking. Like, not everybody would have been inside. Somebody could have seen something, could have seen Alonzo walked off, asked them, hey, where are you going? Like, I feel like somebody knows something. And I feel like this reward, it's going to get answers. It's going to get answers to what they need to, you know, to find out. And if you have any information about Alonzo's case, I urge you to call the FBI at 816-512-8200. I'm gonna repeat it again, 816-512-8200. And that's for the, that's for, and, or you can call, if you want to submit a tip, you can also call 816-474, and it's going to be T-I-P-S, or submit a tip online at tips.fbi.gov. So if you know any information, I would, you know, try to call the number, put a tip in. If you guys just want to support this, like I said, there's a Facebook page, Justice for Alonzo Brooks, where you can share his information, share his story. I'm going to see if I can try to find the website that Josh created, because I'm just learning about Josh. I didn't know he was doing this for him. I'm going to see if there's a website that he created and put it in the next week's podcast. And see if you guys can go on there and share his story, share it with everybody. I mean, even if you think nobody is looking at it or sharing it, like they are, they're looking at it. And that can make a difference in this case by you sharing information about him, even to a few people. That can make such a difference in this case. But yeah, today's podcast ends here. I really hope that they find justice for him. He was such a good person. Everybody loved being around him. And I just hope that they find peace, that his family finds peace, and they find answers to this. But this concludes today's episode. I really hope you guys like this episode. Next week's episode is gonna be about another case on the Netflix documentary. My posting days are gonna be Sundays, every Sunday. I don't have a time yet because it's my first time doing this, so I don't have a time. When I do have a time, I will post it on social media, Facebook, my Instagram, my Snapchat. I'm gonna post it everywhere. And please, 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 please let everybody know to listen to this podcast. If you guys like it, comment, share it. I really hope you guys enjoyed this. And I really hope you guys come back for next week's case. Next week's case is crazy. Like, I'm gonna rip everybody to pieces. I promise. Like, it's just crazy. It's absurd. Like, I didn't go too much into Justin today because, you know what? I'm gonna let him be because he regrets that shit. You know, I'm gonna let him be. But next week's case is gonna be crazy. I hope you guys enjoy this. It's Maria signing off. Thank you guys so much for listening. And like I said, share this. Share this with your friends. Share this with your family. Thank you so much, guys. You guys have a great day.